And so, as I said earlier, the start of our time of worship, today is Bible Sunday. It's a day when the church remembers the importance of knowing God's word for ourselves. There's a verse in Psalm 119 that talks about, I've hidden your word in my heart. I encourage you always to learn sections of scripture to heart, for there will come a time when you will need it. But perhaps some information at the start about the Bible itself. It is still the number one best-selling book of all time. It still retains that spot. 55,000 copies are sold every 24 hours. Full translations exist in over 530 languages. That's a full translation. Partial translations exist in nearly 3,000 different languages. Gideon's give away 1 million copies of the Bible every single week. Isn't that wonderful? Last year, the Bible app, which is an online version of the Bible, which I know many of you use on your smartphones or your tablets or laptops. Last year, the best-selling app, the YouVersion, it's called, the Bible, topped 500 million downloads since it was instituted. That's 2 million downloads every single month. Best-selling book it is. It is also the most popular book for shoplifters. More copies of the Bible are stolen and taken out of a shop without paying than any other book. There's another record. And just for a little bit of interest, in 1631... an edition of the King James Bible came to be known as the Wicked Bible because one word was omitted from chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 14. And perhaps you're all racing to that now. The instruction was, thou shalt commit adultery. It was quickly reprinted. But there are some versions that are still left. You know, at one time in our history, to own a copy of this book in our own language was enough to have you imprisoned or even executed. And many have given their lives in order that we today might benefit from the privilege of reading God's word in our own language. 52 countries today across the world, to own a copy of this book is illegal, including some Commonwealth nations. Why, I wonder? Why is it so dangerous? What is it in this book that makes leaders and governments quake, that people might read it and know what is in it? That being the case, why then are so many folks, let's just deal with this nation, why are so many so complacent about it? And even, dare I say, why are so many people in the church so complacent about it? Our psalm today speaks of God's word as being a light. When your word goes forth, it gives light. So it's there to illumine our path. Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, talks about and confirms the validity of all prophecies and all documents that have gone before him as being written for our benefit. Jesus speaks of the scriptures as being good news, and God himself, in and through the prophet Isaiah, tells us that his word will never be changed. It is so important that what God speaks will not be recanted. It will not come back empty. The Bible is where we discover what we need to know about God's character, about who he is, about his promises for us. The fact that his promises never fail. He loves us deeply, no matter what. Just read some testimonies of prisoners who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. God loves us no matter what. He's always good. He's always with us. He is always faithful. He is always compassionate. He is always seeking us out. And he wants us to live our lives to the max. And it's in his word that he sets out the way that this should be done. So isn't it sad then that so many people today are so woefully biblically illiterate? I was thinking of some examples there, but I won't. And I say all of this not in any sense to place a spirit of condemnation. I want to encourage us into the importance of knowing what is in God's word, because it gives life and it gives freedom and hope. You know, if we want to get the most out of our car or a smartphone or a laptop or whatever it might be, there's all manner of ways, isn't there, that we can look up and find out how we can use that piece of equipment. We can get the most out of it. But despite all those words of wisdom that might be out there, the best way of finding out what any piece of equipment can do is to go back to the people who made it. Yeah. The people who designed it, the people who made it and constructed it and put it together, understand it. So to me, always going to the manufacturer's guidebook is a good place to go. Now, I would dare to suggest that the same is true about our lives. There's so much stuff out there that will tell us how we should be living our lives in order to be successful and to have a great life. Lots of advice out there. Why not go back to the manufacturer's handbook and find out how we were meant to live it, and discover everything that God has got to say about our lives, the challenges we face, the hopes that we long for and look to. But we can all come up with excuses, can't we? And I've had them. I've come up with them. Excuses as to why we can't or won't read God's word. What might some of them be? I'm too busy. I just haven't got the time. It's too hard. It's not important. It's dull. It's not relevant. Whatever they might be, whatever excuses we might try to convince ourselves with, when we do not look into God's word, we harm ourselves. We are the poorer for it, in not knowing and not studying what the Lord has to say. And you will find also by reading in there, there is an enemy who wishes to stop us doing so. His sole purpose is to prevent us from discovering the joy there is in living our lives with God. So, church, let's not do the devil's work for him. Get into God's word. There was a legal case a few years ago. It hit the news because a British citizen had been arrested overseas and they'd been charged with breaking a local law. They were imprisoned, and the length of the imprisonment was substantial, actually. And so there was an outcry about it, and the person who'd been charged actually said in their defence that they knew nothing about that law. So it's not my fault that I broke it. I didn't know about it. Now, the prosecution argued, and successfully, that the fact that they did not know the law was completely immaterial. That didn't matter. The law existed. And if they'd been bothered, they could have found out about it. But they didn't. And they weren't. And so they broke it. And the penalty stood. Knowing and knowledge and understanding is important. There are dozens and dozens of places in God's word where God himself speaks directly to us, and he says, choose life. Discover me. I'm not hiding. Discover me and choose life, not death. An invitation from page one, from the first capital letter to the last full stop, an invitation to discover who God is and how he came through his son Jesus Christ to set us free. That's why it's such a powerful book. That is why so many people see it as being so dangerous. There are so many ways that we can begin reading and enjoying the Bible. I've always found that one of the best ways is to do it with others. Join a home group. We've got three at the moment that are working really successfully within the church family here. Join a home group. Study God's word together. There are lots of different study guides you could use in booklets or online. And if you're not sure where to go, come and have a word with me and I can point you in the right direction for a few. We can study the Bible online. The YouVersion I was talking about a moment ago has got lots of different studies that you can do into different subject areas. Some of us in January took up the it was a challenge, a good challenge. We took it up to read the Bible in a year using Reverend Nicky Gumbel's guidelines, the man who's responsible for the Alpha course. And we've been working our way through that and really enjoying and appreciating that. But if time is short, why not listen to a recorded version? You know, this is the 21st century. There's nothing holding us back from hearing and receiving God's word. A recorded version. David Suchet has done the most wonderful recording of the New International Version. His voice just brings it alive. So whether you're driving in the car, whether you're cooking a meal, whether you're cleaning the house, or whether you're out in the garden, or whatever you are doing, on a walk, we can hear God's word. And I know folks in the benefits have downloaded David Suchet and are getting a great deal from that as well. Interestingly, you know, Sir David Suchet came to faith by reading the Bible, a Gideon's copy that he found in a hotel room. And by reading that, he came to faith. He came to faith But then he began to give a, and he's given a particular instruction as to how we might go about reading it. He says this: read it aloud, quietly to yourself. Never, 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 never silently. Let it go into your body. Let your body absorb it. Isn't that lovely? Now, you've heard me say many a time, it's important sometimes to pray God's word out aloud so our soul can actually hear it and respond. And there is Sir David backing that up with God's word. A good prayer when we get into our Bible is this: this is my Bible. It is full of God's promise and purpose and power. God is who he says he is, and I am who he says I am. And it's held in his word. So my encouragement, my invitation to you is this: whatever we do, however we might do it, the most important thing is that we just do it. And we read God's word. And let it bless us. And don't worry about how much. You might find that you just read one verse and it goes bam out at you. Hover over that and spend time and let God through his Spirit speak to you. So a moment just to think about how the Lord might have been challenging you as he's challenging me afresh. Of how we read, study, and apply his word to our lives.